Hey, what's going on, everyone? Tim here, and just wanted to tell you about our friends at Philly Esports. Philly Esports is a tournament organizer based out of the heart of Philadelphia that organizes pop-up style esport events. Each event, they provide opportunities for gamers to play in professionally ran tournaments for cash prizes and help build their personal competitive brand with professional photography and interviews with the players. They also have volunteer opportunities, too. So if you're looking at making it in the industry, don't know where to start, volunteer is always the best way. So you can also do that with Philly Esports. As an organization, they empower competitive gamers to pursue their dreams in the industry of esports. Philly Esports' next event will be Saturday, October 26, 2019, at Drexel University in Philadelphia. To find out more about Philly Esports and sign up for their next events, visit phillyesports.net and make sure to go follow them on Twitter and Instagram at Philly Esports. Tell them TCR sent you. Jeff, what's up?
Hey, this is Jeff from the Overwatch team. You're here listening to the Center Ring.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello and welcome. Welcome back to another edition of The Center Ring, aka TCR, aka your favorite esports podcast. Episode 178 coming to you live and or pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. The date, September 30th, 2019. The time, 8:16 p.m. Central Time. How's it going, everyone? If you're a new listener to TCR, don't worry, because this will be the best episode ever as we put a stamp on the 2019 Overwatch League season. We will recap the finals. We will tell our stories of Philadelphia as Anuj and myself were there. And we'll give our opinion on, you know, what we're looking forward to for 2020, what we're not looking forward to with 2020 Overwatch League, things like that. Of course, we got e-news to end the show and yikes of the week, since this is the first episode. I guess it's also a day late. Kind of forgot to tell people that we weren't doing an episode yesterday, but that's because we were in Philly, so I have a good excuse. Before I get too far ahead of myself, go ahead and follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring, as you heard from Jeff. That is what you're listening to. Join our Discord. Our website, tcr.gg, has all the links for that as well. And let's introduce ourselves. Hello, my name is Tim. I will be your captain for this journey into esports. And alongside me, as always, is the ever joyful looking Anuj.
What's up, bud? How are you?
I'm good.
What a way to end the Overwatch year, right?
I got a little bit of the travel sniffles, I feel like.
Yeah, you know, I'm happy to be home. Like, I am happy to be home. It feels like I've been gone for a long time.
Well, you went for a wedding. So, like, I only flew out to Philly Wednesday. You flew out to Rhode Island, right? On Thursday?
Yeah.
So, you were gone an extra day, but that extra day traveling could do it.
And then the travel in between kind of got me too, you know, it was like traveling from one location to another. It just feels like I was on a flight a lot.
We'll get into it too after we talk about the finals, because it's like, we will talk about Philly and compare it to Dallas, which is where we both live. And although Dallas might be boring, it feels good to be home. It feels good to be home. And we're also dedicated enough to jump right on. Anuj, you just got home like 2 hours ago, and we were like, no, we got to do this show. So that's what we're doing. Let's get into
it's an exciting show. We're like excited for the stuff we have to go over. We didn't want to wait for y'all either. You know, we wanted to make sure we got this info out and shared our stories from the weekend.
Because these are the fun weekends and the fun episodes for me, because not only do we have esports to talk to, but I also feel like we can just kind of relax a little bit and just give our own life commentary of our travels. And I think listeners care about it. They might not care, but at least they stick around and listen to it and maybe find it funny or the or whatnot. So we'll get into Philly and it's how awesome of a city that is in a moment. But let's talk a little bit about the finals and our experience there, because it was a short one. It was what we all feared it would be. It was a 4-0 sweep by the Shock, and it was an ugly. And like, I don't even care that the Shock won. Like, I really didn't have any dogs in the hunt. I didn't care. I thought Vancouver would have put up a better fight, but I really didn't care at the end of the day who won these finals. I just didn't want to be a 4-0 sweep. And yet, it was a 4-0 sweep. It wasn't even close. Vancouver barely put up a fight. The Shock went to utterly dominate in the finals and walk away as champions of the second ever Overwatch League.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of the game itself, you're right. It was a beating. It was one-sided. You know, Sinatra called that out. He said this is what they were going to do, so at least he stuck to his word there. But yeah, I mean, Vancouver came in, and you could tell pretty early on. I mean, as we were watching it, you know, it didn't take more than a couple of points into the first match to realize, you know, San Francisco was there to play, and they looked very confident. There was a reason, you know, after that Atlanta match that they did not drop a map after that. You could see that regained their focus. And I mean, in terms of watching a juggernaut, like, that was nice to see, right? Like, we did see a team that was really at the prime and peak of their game. You couldn't have asked for a better performance.
Honestly, like,
it
was somewhat like flawless play by them.
It was. And
apart
this
from
was
a
like
few just alt dumps that Vancouver put on that you just, I mean, you can't help it, right? Like, you're just gonna lose some team fights. That's Overwatch. But like, San Francisco completely controlled the pace of the game. You know, the fact that Sinatra, your league MVP, didn't play in two of these maps, right? He didn't play in Eichenwald or Gibraltar. They didn't even need him there. And then in Eichenwald, we see the crazy Bastion play that we came to find out in the post-game interviews. Like, that wasn't even planned. Like,
yeah.
Like, yes, they were supposed to put Bastion on the chandelier at the third point, but he was supposed to be Maywald up there. Well, whatever, in the heat of the moment, the wall wasn't available. And so the Shock just said, try it. Just use your ult and blast yourself up there. See if it works. It worked. And I think, I mean, A, you didn't see that ever. Like, no one has seen that. And I don't think the Titans were even expecting it, because it just, they didn't know how to, there was no countering coming over from the Titans side. And you said it too, like, the Shock, it was kind of funny because you even pointed it out there, like, when they did their walkouts, like, the Shock were the ones who looked kind of deer in the headlights. Vancouver came out, they were dancing, they were doing like little in-game taunts and everything like that. So you even said, like, oh god, this is going to be a slaughter by the Titans with how confident they looked.
Like, Vancouver came out looking so loose and so fresh just coming onto stage. I mean, they looked like, you know, for the team that's the expansion team coming from contenders, they looked like they had been there before on the big stage, right? And Shock came out and heads down and arms crossed, you know, really showing no emotion. And man, that changed once they got behind the monitors there. I mean, once they were on the mouse and keyboards, it was a different story.
And you mentioned too, Vancouver being contenders and everything. This is really kind of the first time these guys have felt a defeat at this level. I don't know if a player really considers like stage losses and things like that, like, that crushing. I mean, I know they miss out on money, but I don't know what that does to your ego. But like this, like, I mean, you're right. In the contenders, they won their last contenders, right? They went a full like 2 years, probably almost on the calendar anyways, of not really feeling like second place.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so the hype going into this, everyone was mentioning that this is the rivalry of Overwatch. I don't know if there's a big rivalry in Overwatch yet. Like, that's probably part of the issue with the league, is that there's just not enough drama surrounding it. And I think this is part of the issue, right? Is like, you can't sell me on this is the most intense rivalry match and everything, and then there'd be a 4-0. Like, as soon as the 4-0 sweep happens, like, or even like very early on, like after that first map, the Shock completely took that first point on the first map. What was it? On Leijing Tower. And it was like right there, you kind of got the vibe. Like, this isn't like a rivalry is supposed to be like the teams are kind of evened up and everything, but I don't know. It's just like the way San Francisco did it. I don't think that Vancouver is coming back next year with a vengeance, you know?
I think it'll take multiple seasons with the franchising model to build these kinds of rivalries, right? Just like you more in the traditional sports side. Like, it's going to take time and, you know, playing in meeting head-to-head in playoffs or finals to kind of build that rivalry. It's a little different with some of the other esports that we cover, where they can meet head-to-head in several championship matches throughout a calendar year. And it helps build a rivalry a little quicker. Think Astralis Liquid, right? They met like five times in finals, even though it wasn't the major finals. Like, they met in very, you know, highly competitive settings where there's a lot of money on the line. With the seasons the way they are, like, really, I almost want to see it like, you know, next year, you know, should they meet in the playoffs and also be number one and two throughout the season? Okay, now you're starting to kind of build a storyline between them. But after just this one season, too, because they weren't rivals in season one, there was no Vancouver Titans season one. Sinatra didn't play in season one. You know, you didn't have a lot of these key figures there. Yeah, most of season, like, what was it, 3/4 or something in season one wasn't there. So, yeah, so, I mean, I think that'll take a little bit more time. Now, is it something to look forward to? Yeah, most definitely. Both these teams look like they're going to stay good. Should they keep their rosters together? You know, should the, I don't even think either of these teams will be highly affected by major meta changes, just because of the depth that you see on both of these rosters.
Well, but, they, like, they weren't affected throughout the year by them, you know, both of these teams were 1-2 throughout the entire season. And that's like,
with
let alone
virtually
meta
what,
changes,
three meta changes.
Yeah. And then like
played in three variations of it.
Format change, right? Like, even from when it was, you know, you could pick any amount of heroes, right? Like with the goats meta, or now it's like the 2-2-2 roll lock. It's like that didn't even affect them. So
yeah. And then you go 2-2-2 roll lock plus Sigma, you know, and it's like even that changed the approach to the game, and both of them have managed to stay.
So I guess you just don't know what it's going to look like for 2020. I know right now they're about to come out with a big patch that somewhat balances out the game. It's going to be a remaster patch as well, so you don't know. I don't really don't know what that means. I guess they're just going to optimize the game, but you don't know what's going to happen for the 2020 season. The game could look completely different. But as of right now, you know, even Andy Miller, the owner for the Shock, in their post game press conference, said it himself, like, they don't expect to make a whole lot of changes. Like, he knows for a fact the majority of the players will be there next season. So we're most likely going to see the core of the Shock remain. You're going to see the core of the Titans remain. And, you know, we'll see. I guess you don't know how the homestands are going to play out, but maybe you'll see a little bit more of a rivalry there. But who knows? Who knows? Either way, it was a good finals. It did suck that it was 4-0. The in-stadium experience was pretty awesome. And I was there for New York last year. Sat in a different, it's kind of unfair to compare the two, because for in New York, I was in the bowl, like in the middle of the stadium. So I kind of felt like the energy was a little different. This year we sat on the side, which I don't know. It didn't seem, the crowd didn't seem as hyped to me compared to last year. But maybe that's just me being a negative Nancy. We get in there. And the press area, they set up in the press box. Not the greatest setup. Like, originally, we were going to be watching it on TVs. We went down on the floor and to watch Zed. Not that bad, actually.
Yeah, actually pretty good. My yikes is...
you want to retract your
taking
yikes
away. I'm
week.
Retracting my yikes of the week from last week. We'll push that on. But yeah, Zed was actually pretty damn good.
It was actually pretty good. Pretty legit. And our buddy... Adam from Philly Esports, sponsor of the show for these last two episodes, text us, or he called me and was like, yo, I can get you in this suite. Just come up to the club level and, you know, let them know who you are. Which, I mean, first off, Adam, they know who we are. Okay. I don't have to tell anyone who we are. They know. Second off, so we were like, absolutely, like, yeah, without a doubt. Like, gee, watch this in... not just any suite, but like the Comcast suite, like the owner's box is where we watched these finals from. Watch them in the owner's box with an open bar and a free buffet, or go watch them in a press box and watch it on a TV where you can't even see the stage. Like, yeah, I'll go to the box.
I'm not going to lie. That made the event for me. So, like, I'm going to kind of piggyback on some of the things that you said here. I thought the environment was incredible. I absolutely was hyped. You know, and there's somebody being an average Overwatch fan. Like, I can openly say that. Like, I'm not a big Overwatch junkie. I don't play it even as a casual game nowadays. Like, I've kind of moved on from it. But I'll still catch, you know, some of the competitive matches. But I just don't dive in the way you do. I thought the environment was awesome. I loved it. The crowd I thought was hype when they really needed to be. I don't think Vancouver gave them much of a reason to stay hype throughout the match. Right. You know, it kind of killed it off when it's 3-0 and you're going into your final map. Like, it's kind of hard to really, really stay hype unless Vancouver gives you a reason to do so. And they didn't. So that's kind of on them. But The venue, fantastic. The place was packed to the brim. I mean, there did not seem to be an empty seat in the house. I know we were kind of waiting to get some numbers, but we're thinking it's easily over 15,000 were there, if not closer to the 20K
mark. Yeah,
they
said it was a sellout. And like, this was like the $1 million question for the year of like, what was the capacity? And it's like, some people looked up the stadium seating capacity for that place. The Wells Fargo Center, I guess online said 21,000 for concert seating. I don't think there was 21,000 there.
Yeah, but we do think it was like over 15.
Somewhere between, like I would say 15,000 to 17,000 is what I would probably say.
Is a hell of a number. And I mean, again, I thought the way they did the lighting effects, they gave everybody there a wristband to wear. And with those wristbands, if you've been to, there's a lot of concerts that do this. I've been to a couple that have done it. But as either the music changes or a play in the game is happening or they want to celebrate something, they can sync these lights on your wrist to kind of meet what's happening. In some cases, they did fireworks shows and random stuff. So I thought that was really neat and helped build the environment. But yeah, Adam was awesome. I mean, what a treat for us to get to go watch it. You know, in the owner's box at that arena, it was really something else. The view from where we were compared to where we would have been was 100 times better. We got to meet a lot of interesting people. So that for me helped really make the event, because the way we were about to be, I don't want to say treated, because we did get in free.
Like,
we were taken care of.
Like I'm trying to, yeah, like I might have painted the picture that the press got, you know, screwed over. No, it was still very nice. Like, the press area was still very nice. It just, where some of them had to sit,
was an obstructed view.
You couldn't see. I mean, this isn't like being you straight up couldn't see the stage. Like, there was the giant video board for the upper section blocking the stage, and then that's where you would end up watching the match. And it's like, well, I kind of want to see the environment, you know? Like, if I wanted to watch it on a screen, I could have just stayed home.
Could have streamed it from your mom's basement. It would have been fun.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's...
Yeah.
Like, I assume everyone... Oh, yeah. Is it the
so where we ended up being eventually, again, you know, thanks to Adam there, that was really something else. That was made it a very neat experience. I mean, it was just enjoyable. We got some free swag out of it, which was cool. I know Tim's a big Lego guy, so he got
some Overwatch Legos.
Got some Overwatch Legos and... We got some neat stuff and got a really good experience. And overall, I came out really pleased with the event. As somebody that hasn't attended anything other than like a homestand, which again was a big event in my eyes,
right,
for Overwatch here in Dallas. But this was next level.
Say what you want about Blizzard, but they definitely know how to put on an event.
Yeah,
like they definitely know how to throw a solid event from start to finish. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall. And I don't know if they ever said this. So this is also the downside of being at events, is you don't get to listen to the commentary as much or see like what's going on in Twitter or anything. I don't know if anyone really ever brought up that like the screen inside the stadium was broken for the first map. Like there was like a quarter of the way down on the left-hand side, just a giant black bar. Like some of the panels were out. Didn't really seem to affect the mood. Everyone still seemed to be pretty excited. It's not like it blocked the crosshair or anything. So it wasn't really blocking anything crucial. But man, I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall. Like behind the scenes, what they thought of. because it worked all day. And then right when the match start, these panels black out. And it's just like
Zed was live right before this happened. And I mean, Zed had the whole screen in use. I mean, for,
it was working, know, not a problem.
It was working great.
The actual match starts, the part that you care about, done, not working. Out.
And so, but yeah, again, like you said, it didn't affect the mood that was taken care of after map one. And after that, I mean, there was really the only other thing that I would say was questionable was how long these press conferences are. And I don't think this is a Blizzard thing. This is just, I mean, it was just it felt to me an unusually long.
It's unusual. Press conferences coming from a guy who has done my fair share of press conferences, Anuj, doing traditional sports for many years. They're normally. It took us like almost 2 hours to get through both the winning and losing press conference.
I mean, the winning one was definitely an hour long.
Yeah.
Just on its own. The losers had about maybe 20, 30 minutes with some lag time in between. But wow, I mean,
it normally does not take that long. Also, you are limited to maybe two questions. There were some people in that room that like asked like four questions. And it's like, okay, guy. Like, you get one, you get maybe two if it's a slow day. You're getting greedy at three and four.
You know it's bad when you're getting repeat questions 45 minutes later. You're like, wait a minute, somebody asked that at the very beginning.
Yeah. Well, it's like, it too, like everyone feels like their question is a good question, right? And I'm sure I've fallen guilty of this. And then they ask the question and you're like, bro, that's like the same exact question that the people, like the three people in front of you asked, just with like a different twist. And then, like, so then the players are like, no, yeah, we knew that. Like, they say the same thing, just with a different phrase. It's like,
when we start asking about,
that's media.
Were you motivated because a streamer came and visited you before the match? We've gone too far.
Right. But everyone's looking for their soundbite. That's why, right? That's the issue with media is everyone has the angle. Like, they know what type of angle and story they want to take. So they're like, I just need this player to say something along the line. So you try to bait them to say what you want them to say. So that way you have their little snippet for your article or something. But it's whatever. It was whatever. But yeah, so that's kind of what our Sunday was like yesterday. Now, Anuj flew in Sunday. He almost wasn't here today. Would you like to tell the...
Well, you know what? So yeah, I'm just going to get it out.
You just got to. It's okay. You can be. This is a safe place.
I got food poisoning in Philly, unfortunately. And now I don't know if I got it from. To kind of give you a recap of my weekend, I'll go quick here. I went to my brother-in-law's wedding. We're in Providence, Rhode Island for 4 days, then came over to Philly to join Tim. So somewhere in between my brother-in-law's wedding and eating a Philly cheesesteak at Sonny's, which was fantastic, tasted great at the time.
I also
don't know
ate
if it was them.
The
Tim
same
ate it also.
Establishment,
I'm not it saying like it was them, but whatever happened in between Wednesday evening and that morning, I got a stomach bug and it destroyed me.
It might
me.
Have just been the Philly cheesesteak was like the light to the detonator.
Like everything
it
just kind of, yeah, it lit the fuse for sure. And once that fuse was lit, this was like, I mean, this wasn't one grenade. This wasn't one bomb we're talking about here, okay? This was like an air raid. This happened over a span of 12 hours. I'd say 12 hours, 24 hours. I was in and out of the bathroom, very uncomfortable. I was in and out of the bathroom at the hotel. I was in and out of the bathroom in the
arena.
So
this is it. Like, to get a proper turnaround time, we ate. We were in the Uber on the way back to the hotel. And by the time we got back to the hotel, Anuj, you could see like he's starting to sweat. He looks at me and he goes, my stomach feels a little funny. And it was like, oh man, it was the first domino to fall. You did the devil's work in a billionaire's bathroom in the Comcast booth.
I did.
That's a good power move that you can always, if you ever run into the owner of Comcast now, you can always have that over him.
I'll mention it next time for sure. For sure. Yeah. That didn't stop. That didn't stop until I got home and it didn't stop then.
So this is funny too. So after the match, right, we're like, all right, we got to go do the press conference. So we left the suite. Anuj was like, I gotta go. Text me where the press conference is at. I'll meet you. And I'm like, okay. And there's like a Blizzard escort with us though. And he's like, well, do you want to wait for your buddy? And I was like, I was trying to help you, Nuge. Like, I was like, no, he's good. He's good. If you could just show me where it's at, I'll text him. And he was like, well, we'll wait for him a little bit. Like, all right, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, like 6 minutes goes by. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? It's okay. He must just be, you know, he's probably washing up.
Washing, like taking a shower.
And the guy was like, all right, well, it's just down the elevator, blah, blah, blah. I'll wait for your friend. And I was like, okay. All right.
You should have taken him with you, dude. This is like,
I tried. You. He did
this
not
is on
want
you
to
right
leave
here.
Behind. So I went to the press conference and like maybe like 5 minutes, 10 minutes later, you walked down there and you were like, he came in looking for me. So the Blizzard esque, he was so concerned about your whereabouts and your condition that he went into the bathroom to look for you.
Gave a little sneak peek, make sure I was okay.
You okay, buddy?
Gave the two thumbs up. I said, I'll be out in a moment. Life is miserable right now. I didn't even get it. I mean, the worst part of this whole thing is, again, as Tim mentioned, we were in a booth where it was open bar. They had a chef there making some lovely food for us and, you know, some more Philly cheesesteaks if we wanted them, desserts. I mean, you name it, little... You know, think custom made bagel bites, like a gamer's dream. I mean, they had all this stuff there.
It's delicious.
I didn't get to eat any of it. I did not have a bite of one thing. I couldn't even have water. So not only this, I'm dehydrating myself and cannot rehydrate myself because anything that goes in is coming out at this point.
And you were so afraid to even get up. Like you were sitting down and I was like, you want to go stand up? And you were like, I seriously cannot stand up.
Just so moving.
Like, the only time you stood up is when you had to go and like meet and like talk to someone. Cause it's like
mingle. Yeah. Yeah. We're like trying to network. Cause there's so, you know, you get into a booth like this and
I mean, and even then it's
there's
just,
like,
yeah.
First of all, you're trying to be polite. There's like a bunch of nice people in there and you're just trying to like meet people and say hello. But on top of that, you're also trying to network. And so I can't be there just shitting myself the whole time. Like I had to get up and make some friends. And so, I was able to do that, but not much more. I mean, the night that was, you know, once the event ended, we were asked to go out by several people to go get drinks or go watch the Cowboys games or go do some more touring of the city. But it was
poor
like
Adam waited like the entire hour and a half to 2 hours of the press conference just to go hang out with us. And I finally had to tell him, like, bro, Anuj has the runs. Like, I kept trying to like tiptoe around it. And I was like, sorry, Anuj, there's no way around this. There, you just got to embrace it. You got to embrace
Look,
it.
Adam deserved the truth at that point.
He you really know, was, did. He really did. It's
God bless him, but it was tough. I wanted to go out with him. It would have been fun. Even you know, Kevin, our buddy there from
ESPN,
ESPN Dallas was there, and then all these guys wanted to go watch the game and do all this stuff, and that was just not happening. So. that was a no-go. As Tim knows, I got home back into the apartment or hotel and
man.
In bed and watched
and
the Cowboys.
And then Kevin came over to the hotel room afterwards and like you are just the only thing you could see of Anuj is his head. The rest is just curled up in like a fetal position in the blanket. Just like, please God, let me die. Just let me die.
And he couldn't even give me that.
He couldn't even give you the sweet gift of death.
But we made it home. This was, you know, the flight was probably the scariest part. I was pretty nervous, but we did get onto that plane and
you survived
made it back.
I did survive the plane.
I did survive the plane. Didn't survive home, but I, you know, we survived the plane. So here we are.
You're the only person to lose weight on a vacation.
I came back 3 pounds skinnier, dude. That's incredible. 5 days of eating. 5 days of eating. Now, granted, we did walk a lot. Like, we toured every city pretty heavily that we went to.
Yeah, but what you eat there is all junk food. And it's very heavy. Very heavy.
In Providence, they're, like, known for Italian food. And then you got to think, like, wedding food and desserts and cakes and blah, blah, blah. And it was like, yeah. No, I lost weight. I lost 3 pounds. So
somewhere along the line, you made a dumb decision and ate something bad. And as our listeners know, you don't make dumb decisions. You make smart decisions, like signing up for Thrive Fantasy and use the code TCR at sign up, and you will get $10 free for your first $10 deposit. So it's a $10 match. You will end the day with $20. You're already $10 up. It's a daily fantasy sports app that you use prop bets. They actually had one this weekend for New York for CSGO. So if you were a part of that, you were probably a millionaire just like me because I made the right decision and used Thrive for my betting app. Again, use TCR during sign up and they will match your first $10. Thrive Fantasy. So there you go. Let's get into real quick. We'll get into Philly, but before we do that, let's get to our yikes of the week, shall we?
We shall.
I have two, so let me get one out of the way. Everything was looking really good for Modern Warfare until like this last week when it was leaked out that they were going to have loot boxes. Okay, whatever. Loot boxes, who cares? You know, if people want to buy them, more power to you. It's probably just cosmetics. Not a big deal, right? Why do I care if your gun is purple? No. It's also been leaked that in these loot boxes, right now anyways, are guns.
Like real weapons that you get?
Yes, like real weapons that you can use in the game. Like the whole point of Call of Duty was like to progress and unlock the attachments and guns. And now they've implemented this, what is essentially pay to win, in their loot boxes. And that is a yikes from me. Not like, and again, I guess this is just on the casual side because on the pro ladder, they'll probably have everything unlocked anyways. And if you're playing customs, everything is unlocked. But let's be real, the majority of the players on Modern Warfare are not playing those game modes. And now, you know, I was already always behind the curve anyways, just because I don't have as much time to play. But now I'm even going to be worse because I'm not buying loot boxes and I'm not playing as much.
Yeah, that's definitely a big yikes. I mean, again, no problems with skins. You know, I wouldn't even be happy if this was attachments, to be honest with you. Like, I don't like the thought of unlocking anything that's a progression unlock should not be in a loot box. So that's a big yikes. I do believe they're going to hear this community feedback and change that before they launch, because right now the game has a pretty good vibe going around it. People felt good coming out of the beta. There was a lot of excitement, regardless of how we felt, because I think we were also kind of like, we like it, but we also want to see what this is like for COD competitive. I do think there is a lot of positive hype going around it. So if they're willing to like kill it with something like this, I would be rather shocked. I think you can look at games like Star Wars Battlefront 2. I mean, there's a lot, right? There's a lot of games out there that really messed up the way they've done loot boxes. So this is an opportunity, you know, Anthem comes to mind. This is an opportunity for them to hopefully fix that. They got about 25 days before launch, and hopefully they're able to do that.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, it's not the first time that a company has made a bad decision with loot boxes and then they fixed it or whatnot beforehand. So we will see what happens. What is your yikes of the week?
Man, this is like a big yikes for me here. Like, this is related to TwitchCon. So TwitchCon was going on this same weekend. For those of you that attended, I hope you got to see your favorite streamer from about 50 feet away behind a line. But me, the yikes would be at the TwitchCon party. They were obviously giving out alcohol, which is fine. Not a problem with that. It's the way they were serving the alcohol. They basically had a beer pong looking table here with glasses filled up, pre-filled with beer on them, all different kinds of beer. And think your plastic cups, right? Like your red plastic cups or whatever, clear plastic cups for them, just sitting on the table for you to go and grab. Why is this a yikes, you might ask? Well, let's think about this. You have a bunch of 18 to 30-year-old individuals at a party, e-guys, e-girls, sexual tension, I'm sure, amongst different people. Like, that's kind of the age category. And you're going to have alcohol with no sort of bartender kind of keeping tabs on what's getting put into drinks. Now, that's a big yikes. I mean, that's a bad look. I hope everybody came out okay from it. I'm assuming everybody did, right?
I mean, everyone did.
Or they don't remember if something happened. So, I mean, that's just a bad look. You got to be in this day and age, you got to be more cautious. I want to give people the benefit of the doubt, but at the same time, I don't trust anybody. So with the way the world is now,
TwitchCon in general is a big yikes for me.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, that's definitely really, we talked about this.
It's just a weekend where Twitch can get together and just kind of stroke themselves off and being like, good job, guys. Good. We did great this year. We did great. And then just everyone kind of pats himself on the back and say, good job. And then like, they just kind of wave to their fans as they leave the place. There you go. Phil says right here in Twitch chat, saw someone got roofied on Twitter, but I don't know if it was at the Twitch party. 100% at the Twitch party.
Well, 100% assume that was it. Yeah, there's no reason to believe it was anything else. Again, I saw that picture. Somebody had posted it, and the first thing that came to mind is, yep, well, we're going to have an issue. Like, we are going to have an issue this weekend. And so, yeah, that definitely my yikes, and that could be a yikes turning into a lawsuit, depending on what happened.
My other yikes of the week comes from, and of course we can't go a yikes of the week without bringing up Overwatch. The Toronto Defiant announced their own supporters club, the Defiance. So the Defiant announced their club, the Defiance, which kind of looks like a pigeon version of the Atlanta Reign logo. I don't really understand how it got that far in product development and no one said, guys, this looks like a pigeon, but with the Atlanta Reign. But nonetheless, that's what they settled on. The reason this is a yikes, for multiple reasons. A, Toronto already has a supporters club. It's the Toronto Alpha Flight, Toronto AF, as you might see them on Twitter, ran by our good buddy Rich. That's already been established as like the supporters club for Toronto esports. The Defiant knew about them. They just refused to work with them. Like, they wanted it all in-house, which nothing says desperation and lame as a team creating their own supporters club. Like, that is like throwing your own surprise party. You just don't do it.
Yeah. That especially, you know what? Lame. They, in my mind, they were one of the few cities that was lucky enough to have the right person running their supporters club, right? There's not, like, many people out there better than Richard to do what he was doing for them.
And he, was had experience. I mean, he did it with Five Deadly Venoms for New York.
Yep. And that was the largest one at the time. I mean, they were like huge. You knew about them from other markets as like, just as we did. So I thought they were incredibly lucky to have Richard, you know, in their market doing that for him. So this is a big slap in the face. I would love to actually speak to Richard about this. Richard, if you're listening, we'd love to kind of hear your take on this also at some point.
I know they got, I mean, you look at the Twitter announcement and it, all the comments were bringing up Toronto AF. Like, all of them were saying like, nope, we already have a club, don't need you. And then so Toronto Defiant kind of came back and said, no. This isn't a supporters club. This is a supporters club association, whatever the hell that means.
I mean, yeah, bad luck for sure.
Like, the point is that you already had a group of people doing this out of the love of Toronto esports, and you decided to take it upon yourself to try it yourself. And it just kind of backfired, yeah. Deservingly so. So that is my big yikes of the week as well. Moving on, though, from that, if you have any yikes of the week, let us know on our Discord or Twitter. We would love to give them a shout out. We do yikes of the week every Monday. So every Monday episode, but this week, Tuesday, because we flew back in from Philly, is yikes of the week. So let us know. Speaking of Philly, real quick, your review on the city.
Loved it. I mean, it was.
You were there for only one day.
I was there for one day. I'll tell you what, okay. The good, the bad, and the ugly. For me, the good was every corner was a historical piece of American history. And I thought that was beautiful. Like, you could really, like, we walked out of our hotel. We went three blocks down. Boom. What do you know? This is where Thomas Jefferson wrote the Declaration of Independence. Walked another two blocks down. Wow. This is where George Washington's first presidential home was. Oh, hey, by the way, right next to it is the Liberty Bell, the first U.S. Supreme Court, Ben Franklin's home. I mean, you name it.
Ben Franklin's grave.
Ben Franklin's bridge.
As our Uber driver is going 100 miles an hour down downtown roads, avoiding every living soul in his way. Boom, there's Sam Madison's house. Like, it's just the amount of history that's in Philadelphia. I mean, I knew it was historical, but I didn't know it was like all right there, you know? Like, it's kind of nuts thinking about, at least as an American, how much of our beginnings happened right there.
Yeah, it was really neat for that reason alone. I'm going to assume you meant James Madison. You said Sam Madison before we get blasted by.
Oh, sorry. Some of our, Sam Madison was a guy I used to work with at the Ticket.
He's also so shout out. Shout old out American, played for the Dolphins as well. So at least he's somebody famous.
I definitely was not talking about Sam Madison, former Miami Dolphins. But
yeah, I mean, it was gorgeous from that retrospect. Like there was just so much to see, so much I wasn't able to see.
Did you see that the bathrooms there were actually in the same location as the outhouses that like George Washington used?
Is that real?
Yeah, no, there's on the bathroom. It's locked up. I guess they're redoing them. But on the public bathroom there, it said, like, you never know where history is found. And there's a plaque saying this was the original location of the bathrooms.
That's pretty awesome.
It's
the only
spot in Philly you didn't use.
I am somebody who enjoys my history. I mean, everywhere we travel, part of the experience for us is diving into the city's history, whether that was when we went to Italy. That was a big part of our trip, was seeing all the history there. And same thing, you know, when we've done it with South Carolina and places along the East Coast, you get an opportunity to experience some American history that you don't get here in Texas or that you don't find on the West Coast. And so to see something in U.S. history from the 1700s, really, I mean, it really, really means something for us. I know all of our European listeners are like, 1700s, that was like yesterday, bro. Like, what do you mean 1700s? You know, for us, that is really something special. So
also another thing I learned about Philly is that they love Ben Franklin. He is all over the place. If you are a listener in Philadelphia, like, you need to explain what, I mean, I get he is Ben Franklin, but damn, I've never seen a city love a man more than Ben Franklin in Philadelphia. Like, if you don't know the name of something, just throw Ben Franklin in front of it. Like, Anuj, what was that one place we ate at? It had, like, the French fries.
Benny's. Ben Franklin's.
Oh, that's it. And it's like, what was that really tall, that tall building? It had a certain name.
The Franklin building.
Oh, that's it. Like, I was walking around and I saw an advertisement for a Hershey chocolate, like the, you know, just a chocolate bar. And it was Ben Franklin eating a Hershey's chocolate bar. And I was just thinking, like, you know, like they're sitting there in their marketing campaign or their meeting room thinking, all right, we got to advertise in Philly. What can we do? And then like
the intern from the back of the room yells out.
Right. Like some intern was like, I got an idea, boss. Why don't we, hear me out, Ben Franklin eating a Hershey's bar. It's like, damn it, Jimmy, you're hired.
Intern to CEO.
Right. Like just like that. Like,
yeah, no,
just, but it was everywhere.
It was neat. Like, it's just, you know, Tim and I got to walk down Ben Franklin's passageway that he walked every day to and from work to his home. You know, things like that are just, you know, unique experiences. And that made the city beautiful in itself to me.
Yeah.
There was other parts of it that I did not enjoy as much. We've been to other large cities. I thought, like, there's a large number of homeless folks in Philly. Now, they were not hostile. They didn't do anything to make you, you know, feel overly uncomfortable. Obviously, you know, you wish there was something you could do to help out. But there were, like, a lot, and they were everywhere. It wasn't like one, you know, generally when you go to some of these bigger cities, they kind of have those areas, and you kind of see that in Dallas, right? Yeah. Like, you can go to 35, parts of 35 and Stemmons over there. Like, you can... You know, like, hey, this is kind of where the homeless people gather. You know, this is their part of town. They need to have it. You know, you can't, like, you're not getting rid of them. You know, you got to find a spot for them. But that's kind of their location. Philly, I kind of found it throughout the city. I mean, it was outside your hotel room. You know, and each stop you went down, there was four to five kind of at several corners. And so, you know, that part, along with, I don't know what the proper way to word this was, and I'm going to tread lightly here. When we were walking home from the event, there was like, I'm going to say the word gang, take it for whatever you will, gang, group, association, affiliation, team, guild,
a posse,
clan, posse, whatever you want to call them. literally riding up and down sidewalks on dirt bikes and ATVs, popping wheelies.
Right next to cops, not giving
right next to cops.
You don't get that.
Nobody.
And maybe this is normal, but in Dallas, you do not get that. Like, that was very foreign to us Dallas
boys. In Dallas, you're getting arrested the moment you try some hot stuff like that. You know, like, that would not fly here. Especially if a cop saw you. I mean, heaven forbid a cop saw you in Dallas doing that. You would be pulled over relatively quick.
You'd probably get pulled over just for driving an ATV on the road. They'd probably be like, what are you doing?
That is also true. So, yeah, like, and they were going outside of our hotel room during the whole Cowboys game. I mean, we could hear them for about 3-4 hours straight.
Just back and
just
forth.
Going up and down the street.
Back
and
forth. Not really doing anything productive. Just going back and forth.
Stuff like that, I was like, all right, like, clean this crap up a little bit. Like, this feels a little off here. But overall, the city was great. I know Tim had a very controversial tweet out there that lit up the internet. I think it was number 2 trending on Twitter, that this is why Philly is amazing and Dallas is boring. And we talked about this, and I differ in that. I agree in one sense and I differ in another sense. In terms of history and just pure sightseeing, yes, Dallas does not have nearly, I mean, it's not even a tenth of the amount of things to just go
see. We have
see.
Where JFK was shot.
Yeah, you can go look at where your president's head was blown off. Like, that's not something we like to celebrate around here, but hey, that's what we're kind of known for, right? And then there are other things, obviously, to see in Dallas. People will say Dallas, but it's not really Dallas, like going to Fort Worth or Arlington or whatever, you know? So you're 30, 45 minutes away. So yes, in that retrospect, yes, Dallas is nowhere near the type of town Philly is when it comes to history and just in terms of sightseeing. I think Dallas brings its other unique, fun aspects. I think we're a great food city, and you know, I think we have a great nightlife in terms of our city. I think there's, you know, you can enjoy nightlife not only in Dallas, but you can do that in Arlington or you can do that in Fort Worth. So I think we bring other areas there, but yes, like, I do agree in terms of like just being able to get around and you have a group of people coming into town and you're like, hey, here's a list of 10 things you need to go do. I would have trouble getting past 3 or 4.
Right. And especially like in a reasonable thing, like in Philly, we never touched a car other than the fact that we were short on time. So we had to Uber back to the hotel, but we could have easily have walked back to the hotel, gone down a different road and see some other historical thing. So,
I mean, when we were walking to the Liberty Bell, we just happened to run across where Thomas Jefferson signed the Declaration. Like, we or not signed, wrote
like,
the Declaration.
Like, I knew it was there, but, like, you would not have known.
Yeah, we were just, like, walking. You're like, oh, hey, by the way, this is where that one dude, what's his name, TJ or something, wrote this thing up, you know? Number 2 or whatever we want to call him. And so that was really fascinating. And I would like to go back just to kind of feel like I didn't feel like I finished up my tour. You know, right. I wasn't done. And so, yeah, I mean, 2 thumbs up in terms of the city as a whole.
Right. Yep. I know. I had a lot of fun. It was a good way to kind of put to rest the Overwatch League. They really picked good cities. I'm kind of curious to see where next year finals will be. I don't think they can put it in the East Coast. I don't even think it can be in America again. Just for being a quote unquote global league, to do 3 years in the States, I think would be a little risky. Just from like,
what's more risky to you, doing it back in the States and just changing the time zone, right? Going central or west, or taking this to China? What's more risky?
I don't think.
Or China, I say China. Either
Korea,
one of those,
wherever,
so China
right?
or Korea. Yeah. Asia, let's just say as
right.
a whole.
I mean, I think London would be risky. Like, I think Europe would be risky just because from what I've spoken with media members from London and Paris over the weekend, like, esports just isn't big. They aren't big over there. But I think between, like, the TI and League of Legends and things like that, like, China and Korea, like, we've seen that they can represent. And especially when you think, like, 70% of the league are Koreans anyway. You know, like, Vancouver Titans probably almost have a bigger fan base in Korea than the actual Seoul Dynasty do, just because Vancouver played there recently, right? Like, Runaway, you know, the former team of Vancouver Titans were there. Like that we said, they were the golden boys of the contenders or the Korean side of it. So I don't know. I think it would be safe. I think the safe bet, like if they just did it in Vancouver, right? That would be there. See, we went international. It's international, and it's really just Vancouver.
You know, if I were just a betting man, or I'm going to throw out my best guess here, I think we go West Coast next year. I think they just flip coast, keep it in U.S., keep it a little closer probably to Blizzard headquarters over there, right? Also, and can maybe use that as, hey, we wanted to bring it home kind of thing. I you know, whether it's good or bad, I see them just flipping coast, keeping it U.S., and then seeing where Overwatch is year four if they want to try Korea or something.
Right. What other things then are you looking forward to 2020 then? Obviously, we have Homestand, and I think both of us are looking forward to that.
That's definitely the biggest thing. Like, so I don't think we're going to see teams next year with records like 20-2. I don't think you're going to see that. I don't think that's going to be possible unless you, I mean, if you do, it's going to mean a lot more, I should say. I think playing in home and home type environments is awesome. I think that's going to be huge for esports, because them along with Call of Duty doing that hand in hand is really going to be something special. It's something just we haven't seen before. So I think with me, I'm really optimistic that this is going to be a good thing for esports, and I hope that it works, because if it does, it could just really open up some floodgates for other esports to at least consider, or new esports to take this route.
Right.
When and if they break through the scene. But yeah, that's really big for me. And then I'm always just curious about what Overwatch is going to do with the meta. You know, I want to see, how does this game change and evolve within a year? What are they going to take out of season two? You know, there was a lot of negative feedback that they got throughout the season when it came to the GOATS meta, but it's not like flipping over to 2-2-2 all of a sudden made life great. So I want to know what they're going to do for season three that hopefully finds some balance. And I would like to see consistency in how they do it. Whatever you do, do it at the beginning of the season, do it midway through the season, and then you wait till the next year to do any other major changes at that point. But Blizzard is unique in that way, where they just don't care what you think. They're going to do what they want to do.
Right. Like, they need a roadmap, but they don't ever have one. Like, they need a roadmap to say, like, okay, throughout the season, we're going to do a balance update here based off of whatever we feel needs to happen. Then we're going to do another balance update here based off of what we feel needs to happen. But they're like, eh, you know, would have made sense to switch to 2-2-2 during, you know, the mid-season break, where, like, teams had, like, a month to get back to normal.
And everybody had 6 months of complaining about it leading up to it. So it's like,
or we could do it for stage four. So it was very, you're absolutely right. Like, they're just going to do their own thing, which I guess, you know, more power to you, you know?
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to, or I hope that with home and home, or home and aways, teams become, they get a little bit more personality. Like, I know teams have alternate jerseys, but I really wish Blizzard would just let them design their own, like, standard home and away jerseys, much like we have in traditional sports, right? Like, I just think every team having cookie cutter merch is boring to me. That's very minor league, in my opinion. Like, I think every team should have their own style, their own design, right? So let them kind of embrace their own cities a little bit. So I hope that happens for 2020 with home games starting. Much like you said, for balance, I know this new patch coming out, a lot of people are saying that, like, it wasn't making enough of a difference, but I think that's what you need, right? I don't think every patch that comes out, I think people have miscued that it needs to be obliterate one hero's usefulness, right? Like, just, you know, Doomfist is being overplayed, patch him out of the game. It's like, nah, I think it should just be balanced, in the sense of, if you are a team that works well with Doomfist, you can find a way to make him work, right? Now, the league is so cookie cutter, I don't think it will ever be that way, right? Because as soon as they see San Francisco doing something and it works, regardless if the team thinks they can do it, you know, damned if they do, damned if they don't, Florida Mayhem are still going to try to run a Doomfist comp, even though it's like they should just be running a dive comp because that's what complements them or whatever, right?
Yeah.
But so I would hope to see a little bit more just balance across the board, which then would allow teams to run their own style with heroes. But it's also difficult because, you know, Blizzard uses one patch for both client side and the professional side. So what they might patch because of a pro team is doing, well, on our, you know, pub servers, it's completely different, right? So who knows?
One thing we saw with the Shock was in these last few rounds here, even just in the playoffs, is the way they switched out the number of players they were using, you know, in between matches, where really you kind of see one static lineup and they finish off a series. I'm kind of curious to see how many teams can adopt that. Obviously, teams don't have the type of depth that they do, but they were literally taking out their best DPS player.
Right.
And finding a way to dominate because they knew it was best for that particular map choice. And so I'm curious to see if other coaches kind of have the cojones to try that same thing. You know, a lot of people don't want to take out your best player, even if you know, hey, he is not best suited for this map because you don't want to hurt feelings or it's a bad look if you lose. But
well, I mean, look at the Fuel, right? The Fuel did the exact opposite, where they were on a 12-game losing streak and they were still like, nope, we're sticking with our guys. We're sticking
These
with
are
Zachary.
Our
he is in yeah. there. He started the season. He's our starter. And it's like, we're not saying to take... Yeah, you're absolutely right. Like, just because you are taken out for a map or for a weekend doesn't mean you're not the starter. It just means that your skills are better used elsewhere, right? Like,
it doesn't mean you're not a star either. Whether you're starter, star, like, it doesn't mean... It doesn't take away anything from you. It's just... It's a team game. They give you 10 or whatever players for, you know, 12 players for a reason on a roster. And we saw that utilized by the best team in the world. So whether you're the Fuel or you're anybody else, it's something that you need to consider. And if your coaches aren't considering it, it's probably time you consider another coach, to be honest, because San Francisco's doing it with three coaches and all of them are feeling the same way that, hey, this is something we should be doing. So,
right. And that was another thing in the press conference that I was surprised to hear, is that how much credit the players and the ownership gave the coaching staff. Like, for San Francisco, every question went back to, like, we just have the best coaches. And you're like, you never really think about it in esports that the coaches really make that big of a difference, right? Like, you just kind of think they're there. And maybe they'll...
Like, hey, we need to have them because we need to have them type thing. Maybe
yeah,
they can
and maybe they'll
something.
Share a fun fact somewhere down the line with their teams and stuff. But, like, they really were like, no, like, you know, credit goes to the coaches and GM. So I was kind of impressed to see that.
What we just saw with Shock and what you see with, like, somebody like Zonic and CS, the importance of coaches is there, you know. And now we're like, really seeing it across all esports. And give credit where it's due. You know, those three guys were able to work together as a unit, as three coaches on one team. And experiment in ways that we haven't seen in Overwatch. So again, excited to see how that carries over into 2020, not only with their lineup, but how other teams adapt and hopefully kind of use that same philosophy. And again, I mean, we talk about the Fuel a lot on here because that's our hometown team, but I think this is an approach that they not just need to look at, they need to do.
Right. Exactly. And you know what we need to do, Anuj? We need to do e-news.
Who's it sponsored by today?
Your food poisoning.
Thank you, Sonny's.
Sponsored by Sonny's Philly Cheesesteaks, who gave a nuge food poisoning. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Gave a nuge food poisoning. Allegedly. I was fine. I took it like a champ. Which maybe just speaks more for the rotten waste dump that my stomach is that... Something that knocks you out of commission. I'm like, feeling pretty good.
Feel the best I've ever felt.
feeling pretty good. In e-news, CSGO, we're going to talk about this on Wednesday. So you'll hear it Thursday. But ESL New York, Evil Geniuses beat Astralis 3-1 in the finals. Evil Genius, a.k.a. former NRG, what a weekend they had as they won the Gears tournament that went on and the Fortnite event that happened. I saw them tweet that out. And then when you think about it, I mean, really, props to Evil Genius, the org, but I'm sure NRG was just as proud of them. They were a week away from still being NRG. So pretty impressive there. What a way to get back into CS. You think they're happy with that investment?
Oh my gosh. I mean, for Evil Geniuses to come back in after seven plus, I mean, I don't know how long.
I think it was about
5 years. Plus years of not being active in the scene.
I read somewhere 7 years.
For them to come in and come in with a bang, they really made a statement today. And if I am, and we'll get into this, like you said, next week, but if I'm a Complexity or 100 Thieves.
Well, not next week, next episode.
Or next episode, or if I'm a TSM, I'm really looking at myself on what did I just miss out on here.
Right. Yeah, I would love to know, like, what the details there were, you know?
Yeah. And there's some other cool stuff that, you know, this I don't know how much we'll get into next week, but the new cache was, the new new iteration of the map cache in CSGO was unveiled at ESL 1 New York. It was played as a show match with professional players, right? And they unveiled it. Looks gorgeous. It looks so good. I'm not sure if it was you or one of our buddies, Donut, that like truly, truly hates that map every time we play it.
It's Donut. Our buddy Donut despises that map. It's actually one of my favorite maps.
I'm so excited to jump back into some CSGO when this map releases. I hope it's soon. It looks beautiful. I mean, just some of the new wall banks and the open sky boxes to change the ability, the way you use utility, which is such a big part of CS now, is really, really fascinating. But they've done a beautiful job. The map looks great. You know, props to Volcano. Props to FM Pony, however you pronounce his name. Amazing job by those two guys. They put together another map that's going to be in the rotation. You're going to see it as one of the primary ones. I'm curious to see what gets taken out, but a really good showing
to
the map.
Rework it. Just take it out.
I have a feeling we're going to see like a cache or something come, or a Mirage or something come out, but we'll see. Again, good looking map. It's supposed to be released early October, so we'll get our hands on that. We'll stream some gameplay of that for y'all to check out if you don't play it.
Also, Border in the chat asked at the beginning of the show if we were going to do any ECS streams. We are going to do them. I have to look up because I think they do have some like guidelines they want people who are streaming their matches to go from. So I just don't want to step on anyone's toes. Plus, we just flew back in today, so we're both pretty exhausted. But we will stream some ECS matches on our Twitch, so be sure to do that. Twitch.tv/TheCenterRing. We'll do some TCR theater with those here shortly, maybe even later this week. We'll look at the schedule, see what's happening, what we can work in. In COD, Attach was confirmed for the New York team, so that's two confirmations for them right now, right?
Yeah, two confirmations, two former FaZe players. I know Attach also went and played for Evil Geniuses for a large part of last year, but Attach widely known for his connections to FaZe and his time with them. Those two guys together and teaming up is actually quite exciting, and both of them being on the New York roster seems very fitting. So they're building something out there, and I think like Looney is also confirmed with them possibly, and maybe even Lamar. I'm not sure. I think we kind of know the rosters, and we'll have to get back to this in a future episode, and we will, so don't worry. But
Mike Ruffell tweeted out today too that they have officially registered the name for the Dallas team as well. So like,
I think it's Empire. Dallas Empire. Is it going to be the name? I'm pretty sure. Yeah, it was leaked out, and you can even go look up DallasEmpire.gg, and you can see who it's registered under, and it's registered under Team Envious's organization.
Okay, well, there you go. Dallas Empire. Yeah,
I didn't know if I should spoil that now, because it's not 100% confirmed.
No, go for it. I'm thinking if I like it. Dallas Empire.
That almost seems more fitting for New York, personally.
Yeah.
Like, I think of Empire State of Mind, or Empire Statue, or whatever,
Empire State Building, not Empire
Statue. Yeah, the State Building. Oh, Empire State Building. Yeah, Empire State Building. Sorry. And then the Empire State of Mind. Like, you know, it's very attached to New York.
I don't like that for Dallas.
I
thought New York when I heard it too. It should be like Dallas something, but not Dallas.
You know what, though? Like, I'm happy to like Dallas Rangers or something just super generic. Yeah.
No, I agree. We don't need, doesn't have to always be like Cowboys or something, but
the Dallas Oilers or something, some nonsense like that, you know? So, whatever. I mean, make some cool merch and I'll be happy. Okay, Mike, I don't care what you name it.
That's give really me some true. Yeah. Cool as looking merch. Cool, I don't really care.
And I'll be happy with it.
Dallas Tycoons. That would have been cool. But that kind of sounds like a minor league team.
It does. It does.
But like Oil Tycoons. I don't know.
In other news,
we'll talk to Mike about it. We'll get with Mike. Don't worry.
Hopefully we have him on the show soon. Battle Royale news. We got Apex Legends Season 3. Tim, how long have we talked about this for? What is the one thing we've asked of Apex Legends really since the first month the game released?
New chick characters with less clothing.
Tim is no longer being asked questions today. It was a new map. We wanted to see a new map, and we're finally getting an additional map. We've been talking about this on Battleground Games for a long time to push out multiple maps and give it some sort of map pool and diversity that way. But they have a new map in play. It looks like it'll be kind of like some sort of lava, fiery kind of map that they're doing, along with a new character that starts October 1st. So that'll be out right around the corner here. For everybody to dive into, but I think that's big. Like, I mean, the game needs a little bit of a jump start again, and I think a new map will really help bring the player a good portion of the player base back. Now they'll have to be active and continuing to do stuff.
Yeah, I'm out.
People will leave again quickly, but
I'm out.
But I am excited to try a new map because Apex, for me at least, was my favorite BR game out of the grouping of BR games.
I'm done with BR games. I'm just gonna come out and say it. I'm done with them. I've uninstalled all of them from my computer. I've replaced what BR time I normally did with. I put Counter-Strike back in the rotation, Overwatch.
You uninstalled Apex Legends as well?
I believe so.
That hurts a little bit.
I believe so. I'll reinstall it to play once with you on the new map, and then I'm going to uninstall it again.
What if you love the new map?
It doesn't matter. Totally I don't like BRs.
So, new one tomorrow, new character, Crypto. He's supposed to be some hacking kind of guy. We'll see what he actually does. But yeah, new map coming out tomorrow for Apex Legends.
And in other news, DreamHack announces a two $250,000 Fortnite tournaments. They will be at DreamHack Winter and Anaheim. And all BYOC ticket holders can participate if you choose to.
Crazy.
Dallas, they did do a full BYOC tournament for Fortnite, but I don't think it was $250,000.
No, I think it was one of those things like you see for CS and all that, where it's
right.
like, hey,
like,
everyone
you could just
can
sign
up
and do it, but
and
this
it's
is
your
like
traditional
a legit tournament.
Yeah, I think because I think even this pros and all that will be competing in. Like, they'll
right.
actually have real players coming down and playing at these events, where at Dallas, like, hey, if you lived in Dallas and maybe you were a pro also, you would show up and do it, but you weren't flying in necessarily to go play in it. This is going to be a legit, I mean, 250, you're talking about some of the larger CSGO tournaments at this prize pool and so forth, but
and now BYOC has it.
Yeah, so this will be a solo tournament.
There's a yikes
again,
of the week for you, CSGO.
Really,
you have a BYOC tournament outpricing you guys
again. DreamHack Winter and DreamHack Anaheim, so stay tuned.
Excellent, excellent. All right, so that will do it for this episode of The Center Ring. Shout out to Philly. Thank you for being an awesome city. Shout out to Blizzard. Thank you for being an awesome host. Again, I know we missed, we had to have missed some of the details and things that we loved about the weekend, but truly do know that we loved every second of it. It was a blast. We had a ton of fun. Can't wait to go next year. To the Overwatch League Finals. We'll be at BlizzCon, so that will be another. I didn't even mention that I got to meet Jeff. So, obviously you heard it in the intro, but I got to meet Jeff. That was awesome. So maybe I'll talk
more
about
that.
More
than once.
Yes, more than once. We bumped into him, and he remembered me. So, we're
That's
pretty right. much best friends.
And once again, thank you to Adam for making the event even better than it would have been. So, we really appreciate
yes.
you taking
Adam
care of us
from
at Philly Esports.
Philly Esports, so go check them out at Philly Esports. We will be back in a couple of days with the short week here, talking Counter-Strike, recapping a little bit of ESL One New York, talking about how we all got to just get along with esports, Counter-Strike, Overwatch. I'm talking to you guys. We're all friends here. We all just like video games. Calm down. So we'll talk about that, though, on Thursday's episode. But until then, I'm Tim for Nuge. We'll see ya. And one more time, we really do want to thank our friends over at Philly Esports. They definitely made our weekend in Philly that much better. And in case you don't know, Philly Esports is a tournament organizer based out of the heart of Philadelphia that organizes pop-up style events. Each event, they provide opportunities for gamers to play in professional ran tournaments for cash prizes and help build their personal competitive brand with professional photography and interviews. As an organization, they empower competitive gamers to pursue their dreams in the industry of esports. Philly Esports' next event will be Saturday, October 26th. You got plenty of time to register. That will be at Drexel University in Philadelphia. To register for that and just to follow everything going on in your local area for Philly Esports, go check them out, phillyesports.net, and on Twitter and Instagram, @PhillyEsports.